At this time, I'm going to introduce to you a brother, the first preacher that we have for tonight from Southwest Baptist Theological Seminary, Brother Timothy Pig. Brother Pig, y'all give just a minute here. Brother Pig is, when he graduates in about a couple months, you say, Brother Pig is going to be headed down to Florida, y'all, to pastor a church down there. So I want y'all to be prayerful as God is, as he calls these men, he's going to scatter them to all corners of the earth, because God said, he said, I want you to go ye therefore into all the ends of the world, right? And you know why he told you that? Because he scattered his folks, the Jews. So whenever, wherever you end up going, you're going to find a Jewish community. Make it your business to outreach. Make it your business to outreach. We had a brother here the other night named Brother Jeffrey Gutterman, raised Orthodox Jew, Bronx, New York, got saved at age 37. And he said to me, he said, Brother Will, he said, you don't understand. When God scatters, he scatters. And now he's calling men, Southern Bible, Southwest, ABC, go and preach. Brother Pig, preach, preacher.
Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. It was worth coming tonight to hear some of those quotes he was using, wasn't it? Amen. Take your Bibles tonight and open with me to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 8. And in honor and reading of God's Word, would you stand with me as we read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. The Apostle Paul writes to the young man Timothy, I charge you therefore in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And they will turn away their ears from the truth, and they will wander off into myths. But as for you, Timothy, be sober-minded. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. But not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. Father God, I pray that as we listen to this text this evening, Father, I pray that you hide me behind the cross and that you speak. Open up our hearts and our minds to hear from you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. You may be seated. I want you to picture with me that you are in a military setting. You are awaiting the commands from your officer. But instead, a messenger boy comes up to you and hands you a piece of paper and tells you that your commanding officer, the man who trained you from the very beginning, is about to die. You, of course, are immediately taken with sadness. And in this letter that he has written to you, he gives you one final charge for what you are to do in ministry. That is the exact place that Timothy finds himself. The Apostle Paul sitting in a Roman prison awaiting his death. At any time, his head would be placed on the chopping block and his head would roll down the Mamertine prison. And Paul, the greatest Christian who'd ever lived, would have died. But he had one final charge to give to the young preacher Timothy, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. This message is entitled, A Final Charge. The work of ministry is demanding, but the reward is well worth it. The first thing I want you to see tonight is ministry and its proclamation. You'll notice the authority of Paul's message. He says in verse 1, I charge you in the presence of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That word charge there is indicating a military action. He's given him a mission to do. He says, I charge you in the presence of God. We see that the authority of the charge does not come from the Apostle Paul, but the authority of the charge comes from none other than the judge, Jesus Christ. One of these days, preachers, we're going to stand before God and he's going to look at every single sermon we preach and he's going to judge us on the basis of how we kept the charge. But then we see here not only the authority of the message, but we see the clarity of the message. Did you pick it up in verse 2? He says very simply, what are you to preach? Preach the Word. He doesn't tell them to preach the latest thing in Reader's Digest. He doesn't tell them to pick up the greatest thing on Dr. Phil of that week. No, he tells them to take the Word of God, stand before the people of God, and to preach the Word. Keruksan ton logon. It is an imperative. He is commanding them that the only source that you are to derive your sermon from is the Word of God. Well, wouldn't it help to know what the Word is that we're supposed to preach? Aren't you glad that if you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that the Apostle Paul anticipated the question of the 21st century when they tried to determine what the Word was? So go back with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture, posgraphe, is given by inspiration of God. Theopneustros. It is the breathed out Word of God. All Scripture, from Genesis through the maps, it is the Word of God. And he looks at the preacher, Timothy, and he says, preach it, preacher. Preach the Word. Well, how are we supposed to preach it? Are we just supposed to get up and be real cool? Should I have worn my skinny jeans and put a stool up here and just hung out for a little bit? No, I don't think so, because the Scripture says you are to preach it. You're to be ready in season and out of season. You're to preach it when they want to hear it, and you're to preach it when they don't want to hear it. He says preach it in season and out of season. Then he gives them three further imperatives. He says reprove, tell them what they've done is wrong. Rebuke, tell them how wrong what they've done is wrong. And exhort, tell them how to get right from what they've done and how bad it is that it is wrong. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. But how is the pastor to do it? With great patience. Pastor Willie, do you have patience this evening? With great patience. Did you know that pastoring sheep needs patience? Paul looks at Timothy, he says, I want you to preach the Word, I want you to reprove, I want you to rebuke, I want you to exhort, but I want you to do it with great patience and great doctrine. Ministry and its proclamation. Now we see the urgency of our message. Why are we to preach? He's told us what to preach. He's told us how to preach it. But why are we to preach it? Well, the text tells us. Look at verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine. Did you know that there's a time coming, and I believe it is, when people won't endure healthy doctrine? They don't want to hear the good book. They don't want to sing about the blood. They don't want to hear the old rugged cross and the message of the Scriptures that have been portrayed from Genesis through the maps. No, they don't want to endure sound doctrine. But that doesn't change what we're to preach. Not only do they not want to hear sound doctrine, but look at what they do instead. As an affront to the preacher, they accumulate for themselves teachers who suit their own passions. Some translations say they follow teachers who are like their own desires. You know, the Bible says in James that if you follow your desires, you'll end up in death. When your desire conceives it, it gives birth to death. He says they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own lust, in accordance to their own desires. Look at these teachers. They'll turn their ears away from the truth, and they're going to wander off into these fables, into these myths, into these fantasy stories that can't change someone's life. And they end up looking for that teacher who will scratch their itch. They want to find that teacher who will scratch the itch of their prosperity. They want to find that preacher who will look at them and say, hey, brother, it's okay that you're sleeping around. Scratch, scratch, scratch. Hey, brother, it's okay that you don't want to give your money to the church. Scratch, scratch, scratch. Hey, brother, it's okay that you go out and get drunk on Saturday night and then come to church on Sunday morning and act all holy. Scratch, scratch, scratch. They'll accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth, and they'll be turned aside to fables, and they'll find teachers who will itch their scratch. Number two, we see ministry and its occupation. Verse 5, but as for you, he said, Timothy, you're not like that. But as for you, Timothy, look at what he tells him. Be sober-minded. Remain vigilant and aware. Always be looking for that wolf who's trying to come in and steal your flock. Be vigilant. But not only that, he also tells them back in verse 5, but as for you, be sober-minded. Endure suffering. remain committed. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Endure affliction. You know, the ministry's tough. I haven't been in ministry long, but I've been in two tough churches in my short ministry. When my wife and I got married, she asked me, she said, is this what it's like? You know, when a baseball player steps up into the batter's box and he swings and misses on the first two, you start wondering how good of a hitter he is, you know? My wife and I went 0 for 2 in our first two churches. She said, oh, please, pitcher, throw it outside, throw him a ball so we can get back in the game. But as for you, be sober-minded. Endure affliction. But look, notice this last one. Do the work of an evangelist. Not only are you to remain vigilant, remain committed, but also you're to remain a soul winner. You're to be a fisher, as we heard already. There is no single spiritual obligation that is more natural for the committed believer or more important than the practice of evangelism. As we've already heard tonight, evangelism is our new DNA in Jesus Christ. Do the work of an evangelist. Here's the last one. Fulfill your ministry. Remain a servant. You're to remain vigilant, be sober-minded. You're to remain committed, endure hardship. You're to remain a soul winner, do the work of an evangelist. You're to remain a servant, fulfill your ministry. When the status of the position is more important to the pastor than the role, it is time for the pastor to get out of ministry. He is to fulfill his ministry. He is to be a servant. When he cares more about his position than he does about winning people to Jesus, get out of ministry, people. He says you are to remain committed. You are to remain a soul winner. You are to remain a servant. But then finally, we see in the text, ministry and its culmination. Paul changes his tone here. He gets less harsh and he starts reflecting on his own life. He says in verse 6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. The reason for his instruction was Paul knew that one day he was going to walk over the Jordan into glory land. And he knew that he needed to take the baton and hand it to the young preacher Timothy and say, Timothy, preach the word. Paul says, my life is being poured out as a sacrifice as we speak. Then he uses the perfect tense here. Look at how he describes his ministry. I have fought the good fight. Preachers, have you ever been in a good fight? I have finished the race. And I've kept the faith. Isn't that the quintessential mark of a believer right there? I fought the fight. I finished the race. And I've kept the faith. The reason for his instruction. But notice this. The reward for his involvement. Did you notice that at the end? Look at what he says. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, but not to me only, but to all who've loved his appearing. Ministry has its reward. Now, we expect the Apostle Paul to say that he's going to get a reward. We look back and all of us would say, who's the greatest Christian who's ever lived? We would say the Apostle Paul. He wrote 90% of the New Testament. Would he not be the greatest Christian? Called out of a pagan religion into Christianity, stopped killing Christians, life totally changed, preaching, ministering, mentoring. Paul says, I'm going to receive a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the judge. Isn't it interesting that the one who gives the charge is the same one who gives the reward? The crown of righteousness. But not only does Paul get it, he turns and he looks at Timothy, and I don't believe he's only thinking about Timothy, because you'll notice in the text that he kind of looks past Timothy, doesn't he? But to all who have loved his appearing. Pastor Willie, henceforth, there's laid up for you a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give you on that day. Pastor Bakari, that church plant, henceforth, there's laid up a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give you on that day. Pastor Daniel, henceforth, there's laid up for you a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give you on that day. And Pastor Charles, God's got a reward. Henceforth, there's laid up for you a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give you on that day. Church family, henceforth, there's laid up for you a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give you on that day. Preach the word. Father, I pray tonight for my preachers, my friends. Father, you know the work of ministry is tough. But Lord, you have called us to preach the word. So may we never forget our calling. But may we also never forget that at the culmination of all things, we will receive the crown. Keep us faithful, God. Keep us committed. Keep us in ministry. We pray this in your Son's name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen.